Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus says, "Beware the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplace and have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses for a pretense and make long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation." You see, the scribes had used their God-given offices to feed their sin-driven egos and fill their greed-soaked pockets. This is their problem. Their greater condemnation is theirs because of their office. This ought to be a warning to all in the pastoral ministry. As the scribes had no excuse, they had no excuse. They know better. They have read the Word of God. They have been taught the Word of God. And yet the scribes act as if God's Word doesn't matter and God doesn't care. And that should be a warning not just to those in the pastoral office, but to all of us. For you see, if we examine our own hearts, we all must confess that we are often self-serving. Our sinfulness gets the best of us, each one of us. Because just like the scribes in our text, we want honor and we want stuff. And the love of stuff is why money is such a big problem. Our sinful nature, well, on its own, apart from faith in Christ, really only fears, loves, and trusts in itself. And this, as the scriptures clearly define, is idolatry. Like all forms of idolatry, the false idol needs to be fed. And its true food, that is the idol that we most often worship, is our feelings and the false sense of security our stuff brings. This is why so many today have wandered from the true confession of the Christian faith, substituting in the place of the Word of God and the means of grace, life lessons, financial advice, desiring that the office of the ministry would function more like life coaches and exchanging the Word of God and the gifts of forgiveness for warm fuzzies and an encouraging word. A nice pat on the back and everything will be fine. And well, these preachers of profit may every once in a while ambiguously claim some biblical connection. At best, it's out of context, and at worst, it's a lie straight from the devil himself. And their words offer no biblical security or connection to God as He has chosen to reveal Himself. Things have gotten so bad. I mean, it really is weird how we've gone from money being the idol to stuff, to feelings. But it's gotten so bad, if you ask somebody 10, 15, 20 years ago, maybe even a little longer ago, why don't you go to church? The pat answer you heard 90% of the time, unless of course the pastor or somebody in the church had done something wrong to them, was all the church is interested in is my money. Finish the sentence. Easy to do. Today, though, that's not the big problem. Today, if you ask somebody, why don't I go to church? Why don't you go to church anymore? The answer that you'll most likely hear now is the church really doesn't have anything for me. They don't have any groups that I want to join. They don't have any stuff that I want to do. There's really nothing there for me. Oh, if pressed, they might admit, sure, the Word of God is proclaimed there. But, you know, there needs to be more. That's how much our idol wants to be fed, its stuff and its feelings. That's the flesh speaking, you see. For the new creature in Christ desires the Word of God, the forgiveness of sins, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. These alone are the gifts that give us Jesus. That's the interesting thing when you talk to people often who are church shopping. We call it church shopping because they go from one church to another church and another church, looking for a church that fits their needs. We had a gentleman here a few months ago who visited, and I thought maybe he was going to join, but there wasn't enough eligible women in his age group. I apologize for not being a singles bar, and didn't know what else to say. You see, if you are a Lutheran, you've been catechized that what you look for when you come to a church is what? The marks of the church. That's where the word is proclaimed in its truth and purity, and the sacraments administered according to Christ's command. If you're looking for all the other stuff, you're not looking for the church. You might be looking for the why. Or you might be looking for a nice 4-H group. Or you might be looking for what other organization there is out there that fills those felt needs, but has nothing to do with the church. You see, that's the frustrating thing. We've gone from where the confession was all they're interested in our money, and there are churches that say that, that do make people feel that. I mean, there are actually churches out there today that will, before you can join, make sure you have to give them your tax returns for the last couple of years. Can you imagine such a thing? And yet people willingly join because they get their stuff. You see, the scribes of our age, well, they're not as content as the scribes at Jesus' time. The scribes at Jesus' time, he accused of, well, just robbing the widows. The scribes of our age, they want to rob everybody. They want it all, as the great hymn writer Queen spoke. And they want it now. You see, and they will give you what your flesh wants as long as you'll give them what their flesh wants, which is your cash, ultimately. But sad to say, what they take with it is often the security for your soul. Just like the scribes, we are warned about by Jesus. The modern dens of thieves have taken the gospel by force, rejecting their true duties, which would lead them, if they were really caring for the souls entrusted to them, to point people to Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, our suffering servant, the promised Messiah who alone will crush the serpent's head, who is, as John the Baptist rightly proclaimed, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But instead, they point their parishioners to themselves and what they do and how they do it and how it makes them feel. We actually have a word for these kinds of sermons when they're delivered by pastors who do such things. In the pastoral office, we have a term for it. We call it skyscraper sermons. You ever heard that phrase? Maybe you've heard a few skyscraper sermons. It's one story on top of another story on top of another story, leading to nowhere. But they're good stories. They're a lot of fun. I've had people tell me in elevators, "Boy, I just love my pastor's sermon on Sunday." I said, "Yeah, what was it about?" They don't have a clue, but they loved it. It was really fun. That's interesting. So Jesus warns us, beware the scribes. St. Paul warns us that you cannot love money, that love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And Jesus warns us in Luke's gospel, you can't serve money and God. And he tells us that the Pharisees, and so you know, the scribes are a subset of the Pharisees. They were actually workers with them. The Pharisees are lovers of money. Thus, the Pharisees and the scribes were not servants of God, but servants of themselves. So the question comes, is money the problem? Is money the problem? No, never has been. Our hearts are the problem. Our hearts allow us to despise those who have more than we do, or to look down on those who need our help as if they are a burden instead of an opportunity for our good works and the glory of God to be shown. The scriptures are very clear and very blunt. Those who have more are called to share with those who have not. And those who have not need to do all that they can not to be a burden to their neighbors. You see, Paul's really blunt. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. That doesn't mean if a man can't work or a person can't work that they should not eat. But if they will not, he's talking to the lazy and the sluggards, those who, well, decide to not do anything with their life but live off the world. So you see, whether you are part of the 1% or part of the 99%, we all need the same thing, and it's not more money. It's Jesus. Because he sees past the garb of our false piety, just as he did with the scribes. We need, therefore, to repent of our sins, of making stuff and ourselves more important than God and his word. And we need to receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers. Think about it. We're so caught up in stuff that we literally make stuff important when it's the word that was important. You have the whole myth of the Holy Grail, right? If only I could find this chalice, why then I would have immortal life. I thought the importance of the Lord's Supper was not the cup, but the body and blood that he gave, where the word is joined to the elements and brings to us the word that's, oddly enough, not visible. I'm surprised some nut job hasn't said we have to find the jar of flour and the jug of wine from the first Kings, or from our King's text today, because then you could feed yourself for a lifetime. I'm sure there's some nut job out there, because occasionally I know I get these stupid paper prayer rugs sit in the mail from this church in, what is it, Kansas? If you'll just kneel on this and pray and send us money, you'll be blessed with money. You've received it. I know you have, because they've been brought to my office and said, what's this up about? And I said, it's a good thing to burn or throw away, because it has nothing to do with the Word of God. But stuff! We got to have it. So we need to learn from Jesus and from our text today about this. Because walking right in front of Jesus after he chastises and warns his disciples about the scribes, and therefore warning them not to become like the scribes, he has a widow walk right in front of him. He has the perfect sermon illustration happen right there. Odd how God works. At the very scene of the scribes' crimes comes a poor widow, one they really wouldn't have had much to do with because, well, she was poor and she didn't have anything for them to take. She's going to God's house and she places her offering in the offering box. Her gift is a wonderful confession of faith. It's a gift of trust in God to provide. I mean, think of the widow that Elijah spoke to today. Okay, you've only got enough to feed yourself and your son. Well, first make me some and you'll still have plenty. Yeah, right. But you see, he was a prophet of God and he declared God's word and it came to be because he's a prophet of God. And he had God's word connected to it that made it possible. Her gift is a confession of her faith. As the widow at this time had little means of support for herself, they were socially powerless, and they were without honor in society, in a society that's much like ours today, a society that overemphasizes status and power and honor. This is why the widows were to be protected by the church under the Jewish law. Widows were one of the reasons the church had three tithes in the course of the year. And for those of you keeping score and trying to keep up with God and his law, that's not 10% then. If there's three 10%s, that's what? That's 30%, right? So you want to live by the law, you better up your giving. Although none of us can match the widow who gave 100%. You see, the church, you see, was not only the mouthhouse of God's grace, it also served many of the functions that our government has taken over today. So Jesus highlights the widow's gift. Her offering made in faith was worth more than all the wealthy gifts, even though it was, as our English translates it, a penny. You're probably used to this phrase using a mite, right? Jesus says, many rich people put in large sums. The poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. But please understand this, and it's very important. It's not the amount of the gift that made her gift pleasing before God. Jesus doesn't say that the rich people's gifts were not enough. Jesus says, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This gift is given out of God-given faith, and it's the same faith that makes that the rich people have or can have. And it doesn't require us to go penniless to be faithful. This is the same faith that made Abel's sacrifice more acceptable to God than Cain's. And it's the same faith that makes your offerings acceptable to God today and every day. You see, this widow, Jesus said, gave more than all those contributing because she gave it all. Yet after giving it all, she doesn't strut around like a scribe would. She doesn't stand before the group and talk about how her giving is a blessing in her life. And she didn't look down on those who hadn't given all. She simply and quietly gave, and God saw. This is the same faith, you see, that we have today. And her reward, like all who have God-given faith, is given in heaven. Because there is one there that day, outside the temple that day, who will give even more than this widow did. One who is rich and yet willingly became poor. One who is creator and willingly became creation. One who is strong and willingly became weak. One who is esteemed and willingly became despised. One who is life and willingly took our death, becoming our curse to be our cure. That one is Jesus, who alone willingly and freely gave his body and his blood for all who are dead in their trespasses and sins. And on the third day, this Jesus rose again from the dead, declaring to all who believe that his offering was accepted, and it is this offering that makes ours acceptable and assures us that life and eternal is our gift. You see, this is the gospel of Jesus that we so desperately need. Whether you feel it's what you need or not. This is the gospel of Jesus that the church is called to proclaim to all nations. This is the gospel of Jesus that is the same for rich and poor, young and old, single and married, widow and widower, and male and female. This is the gospel that changes the scribe-like hearts that we all have to hearts that instead love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. In this faith, may we have peace each and every day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.